peaceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you, idiot? Your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome inside another week of Tall Can Audio. My name is Matt Robinson in our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Our buddy Chris Hoffley sitting across the table today. What's happening, Hoff?
No comment. Oh.
This is going to be a good show.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy to be back.
Hello.
Yeah. It's a lovely day outside.
It is, and we're sitting in,
we're in the dark,
dark room.
Yeah. And,
but there's beer.
Well, yes. It's hard to turn down the invite of, hey, you want to just shoot the shit and talk about sports and ramble incoherently while having a drink?
Yeah.
So here I am.
If the with a drink part wasn't included, I don't know that I've ever would have met Hoff. Probably never would have.
I don't think your show would have worked very well.
It really would. I mean, you're certainly not here for the knowledge. You're certainly not here for the personality.
It's the company,
it's
mostly.
It's the craft beer. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that works. That works. We're on social media at Tall Can Audio. Give us a follow on any of the 300 platforms that have arisen over the last little while. We're active on at least two or three of them. And make sure you're subscribed to the pod wherever you're hearing us right now. I want to give everybody a little reminder. I don't know the whole story. Stop coming to me with the why about it. Google Podcast is shutting down. So if you're listening there, move over to Spotify, move over to Apple Podcasts.
Who's again, listening to Google Podcasts?
I don't know, but it's a thing. And I've mentioned this once or twice before on the show. You're going to have to move off Google Podcasts. And people are like, what's happening to Google? I wasn't involved in the decision.
Those are Android people, right? Like you
100%.
And they're the worst people to text to because it's like always, you get the green
the
text
ugly
and
green
like
bubble.
Group texts suck. And
oh,
so,
it breaks your group text.
Honestly, it makes me happy that Google Podcasts is shutting down. Maybe get an iPhone.
Okay. Or, you know, Spotify. Spotify will work for you. Yeah. Whatever. But, there are people that will text me and be like, well, what's happening to... I just know it's going away.
I love that this early in the show, I've already picked a hill to die on.
Yeah.
And that's...
iPhone people are
podcast platforms and...
My first
Android
couple smartphones... Well, I had a couple Android or a couple of Blackberries early on.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. And then I moved my first phone... post BlackBerry, I think was a Samsung Galaxy S3.
Had that too.
Yeah.
I think I had a couple of the S ones.
Yeah. And then I moved to the Note briefly and then I switched to iPhone. And I remember like posting, we were just talking in the green room there about cringe Facebook memories and things like that.
And third person status update.
Yeah, exactly. First person stuff. What? Third person. It was third person.
Yes.
Right. But I can remember.
I work with words for
getting
a
wow. It's troubling. I can remember that I posted something along getting my first iPhone tomorrow. Can't wait to be better than you.
Honestly, I resisted it so long.
Yeah.
And I was so like the hype. I was just, you know.
Oh, at some point you just take
your heels
in.
I love my Android. Yep. You're not telling me what to buy. And now, like, fast forward a few years, I have an iPhone. I've got a MacBook. I've got a fucking Apple Watch.
Everything I got is, yeah.
Yeah.
I got Apple Watch beef too. I'll ask
I have an Apple lower back tattoo. It's gotten out of control.
Mac stamp. Let's have a beer.
Okay.
I placed an order this week from the good people over at the Bicycle Craft Brewing Company. And I'll be honest, I hadn't placed a lot of orders from them because early on in my craft beer exploration, the IPA was fine. Not theirs specifically. I was fine with an IPA, but it wasn't close to the top of my wish list.
Sure.
I was stouts and porters and reds and ambers and almost anything.
Bears, oh my.
Sure. But I've started to get more and more into the IPA. And in Ottawa, there's not many places to go that is more all about the IPA than Bicycle. Like, that's what they hang their hat on. Yep. They've always got a bunch of them going on. So we're going to run with one here today. This is 6.5%. It is from Bicycle Craft Brewing Company. It is called... The Sun Puddle.
The name already made me giggle. I don't.
You want to take a stab at what it means?
I don't. I like. I don't want to get in trouble.
But I do like it for this kind of time of year where, as you said today, it's like 15, 16 degrees. You and I sit here and record. This is sunny as hell. But coming off, what was it, like 3 days ago, we were in the middle of a blizzard.
That's what drives me crazy about the city. Everyone gets so excited about the early warm weather, and they're like, spring's here. Like, if you live in Ottawa long enough, you're always going to get kicked in the face by at least one or two more blasts. And
yes.
If you're not prepared for it, then it
makes
sucks.
You really sad. Yeah. Yeah. But I thought maybe this year people thought they were going to get away from it because we didn't really have a winter anyway. Like, it got cold, but we didn't get a lot of snow. So maybe.
It was a weird winter.
It really was.
Yeah.
So, the Sun Puddle here. Have you had this one before?
I haven't, actually. Okay,
me neither.
And, this is a brand new one for me. I'm going to read the back.
Yeah.
this Northeast IPA brewed with powerhouse hops. Powerhouse hops.
Love that.
Powerhouse hops. Citra, Mosaic, and Sabro. Sabro? Sabro. Super juicy and creamy with flavors of citrus, melon, tangerine, and subtle coconut.
Love some subtle coconut.
Massively dry hopped for a big aroma. Man, everything about this beer I like already.
Yeah, they're leaning into some things here. Were you an Office guy? Did you watch The Office?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they think the company buying them out is called Sabre. So there was a word in there, massive something hops or whatever you mentioned. That's all it.
Yeah, it was Sabro.
Sabro. Massive Sabro. So let's get into that.
Thanks, bicycle friends.
Mm-hmm. It is massive.
That Sabro really hits. that's nice.
And juicy, yeah. Right? Like, normally when I think...
I don't know what creamy necessarily means in this context, but...
I'm not getting creamy off of this. That's not what I meant, but here we are.
A creamy sun puddle.
It might...
You're going to have to put an advisory on
my
show.
Subtle coconut. Yeah, no.
I like it, though.
Yeah, I do, but normally when you think New England IPA, you think more juicy and kind of less hoppy. It's the West Coast that's more hoppy, right?
Yeah, this
one has got a lot of both. Like, it is quite hoppy.
Pretty balanced, I'd say.
And like, it's got some juiciness to it, too. Yeah.
A big aroma, as they promised.
Big aroma.
And 6.5%, like that, for a good IPA, that's the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need the double IPA that's 9%.
Or 11%.
It would not make the show better if we were drinking 11%.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, having done a few of those.
Yeah, Lever Sage would not like it.
No. No, because it's a good beer.
Yeah.
Speaking of what else is coming up this week, want to remind the good listener that our buddy Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet is going to be back on here later this week. We'll talk some Blue Jays. Their frustrating start.
It's okay. There's 700 more games this season. They have time.
There is either lots of time to turn it around or just so much misery ahead.
See, that's what the problem with baseball. Like, there's so many games that it can either be like a good progression and getting better, or you're just going to be sad for a long time.
There's a Twitter account I follow. It's mainly about the Leafs. The account's called Acting the Fooloman. And I'm paraphrasing just a little, but his most famous tweet that comes up constantly, people keep finding it and retweeting it, not just about the Leafs. It's like, people think the point of sports is that one day your team will win and you'll be happy. That's not correct. The point of sports is to be sad in a group.
Yes. You find like people who share your same misery and you bond over that.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So look for Arden a little later on back here on the podcast this week. And next Saturday, UFC 300 off. It's a big one. It's a big card. Big card.
Is it?
So
tell me more.
He doesn't want me to tell them more. I will tell you more, though, about how we're going to get ready for it. Our buddies Steve Bunda and Graham Creech will both be in.
Okay, well, that's a good part about UFC, Chaz, because those two are...
Right, and early on,
gents.
When we first started having these UFC shows on the podcast, it was with both of them, but it was during the pandemic when the UFC was one of the only sports going because Dana White really cares about his athletes. And
we're not going to breathe on each other. We're just going to bleed all over each other.
Well, that's totally
different. Totally different.
Totally different. So we would have those guys on remotely, and we would talk all kinds of UFC. And then the world kind of went back to normal, and we started doing things in person. And then everyone was like, oh, right, I got jobs and kids to get places and things like that. So it became harder to get them both in here together. We are going to be able to do that this week. So Creech and Bunda on UFC 300 later on. It's going to be all our usual nonsense. I'll still be here too. But
I'm big fans, giant fans of both those guys.
Yeah.
I work with Bunda a lot. He's a sideline guy for Red Last Game, so I spend a lot of time. He tries to keep me calm because I'm a basket case.
Oh, he's during not football doing games. Well.
No, he's not. But he does his best.
Yeah,
and I was talking to Creature last night because I was trying to. Well, the 67s were playing in Brantford, and I was trying to. If we had we ended up losing, sadly. So I was trying to. I wanted him to pump up the game during the Sens post game show.
Right.
So I was just harassing him, and he was a gent about it and did just that. But
well, kind of a weird day for the 67s, and by the time the good listener hears this Monday, they'll know how game six panned out. 67s and Brantford Bulldogs at TD Place Sunday night. But I'm seeing the game is starting on the radio on TSN 1200 and then moving mid-game
to CFRA. I think now it's just been fully moved to CFRA.
Oh, okay. Because I did see a tweet that it was going to start on one and then move to the other.
I believe AJ Jackiebeck, which I do usually.
Yeah.
his last tweet was that it was just going to be on CFRA. So.
All right. AJ, I guess, went down to Brantford.
Oh, man, that guy goes everywhere to watch minor hockey of any kind.
But normally it's like Renfrew or Castleman or whatever. Like, he gets in their car and drives 6 hours to Brantford. To Brantford, of all places.
Yeah, AJ is like the best way possible, the biggest sports nerd alive, like for any sport.
100%.
His girlfriend is a legend because they go on trips and she knows they're going to go somewhere good, but she has to, like, he's going to go to, like,
the
random, like, most random soccer team that no one's ever heard of. And she'll go and do, you know, whatever, and then they'll do stuff together. But yeah, no, she's I mean, I love AJ to death, but the missus is a legend, because every trip he plans there's going to be some stadium involvement there.
100%. He'll no doubt be back on here within the next month or two as we get ready to tee up the CFL season. I'll probably ask you about that a little bit here. What do you think of the first couple sips of Sun Puddle?
I really like it.
Yeah,
it's an easy drinker. That's what I find. Like, I don't need to get smacked in the face by, like, an intensely hoppy IPA, but, like, one that is, you know, it's a stronger one. But
would you agree with me that it is a little hoppier than a normal New England, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
But not in an unpleasant way.
No, it's really nice. And it's a kind of a unique one. And I've had a lot of stuff from Bicycle, and they make good beer. So I like that it's a little different than what you'd think from a New England typically.
Yeah. I like this one quite a bit. So probably be a repeat purchase. There's a couple different places we could start here, but I want to ask you, before we do anything else, about Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball, because I have a feeling, well, maybe I'm not so sure, but I think you and I might be the same kind of petty douche here when we go down this road. And I think that's a moment you and I could bond over or relate to a little bit. So if you missed
fair
this,
chance, I think.
Shohei Ohtani, obviously, over the offseason, signed with the Dodgers, did not sign with the Blue Jays, was never on a plane to Toronto. You're up to date on that. And
sources say.
Right. So he hits his first home run at Dodger Stadium, and this woman manages to get her hands on it. It kind of lands, and in the story, I'll link to it in The Athletic. There's been a few different accounts, but there are people around her diving on the floor trying to find this ball that has landed in their area. And she looks down, and it's between her feet. She grabs it, kind of pumps her fist, and
hey!
I got it. I got Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball as a Los Angeles Dodger. And it's not uncommon at that point for security to come see you, especially for
a notable, milestone ball, yeah.
So security comes up to her, and she sort of expected that was going to happen. And often in that moment, what kind of deal can we make here? We'd like to have that ball back, but we would happily reward you. Usually it's with, like, memorabilia. It depends how important this ball might be. Sometimes it might be tickets or cash in some cases. And they sort of negotiate and work this out. This apparently got a little aggressive.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
She was separated from her husband so that they couldn't, you know, discuss what they might like to do with this ball. In the moment, I don't know, Hoff, about you. I don't know how much, even if I had been the one to get my hands on the ball, I don't know what I believe in that moment Shohei's first home run ball as a Dodger is worth. I'm sure it's worth something.
It's not that big a deal.
You would think.
It would be worth something for sure, but it's not like a record-setting ball.
There was a story maybe 2 years ago where Tom Brady threw an incredibly important touchdown to one of his receivers. His receiver didn't know that it was this, you know, whether it was the all-time touchdown record or whatever it might be, he set whether it was a round number, his whatever thousandth, and he just turns and throws it into the stands to somebody wearing his jersey because it's just another football, right? Well, now they got to come down and negotiate, and that one was worth a ton of money because it's Tom Brady.
Was it deflated?
But as you said, like, this isn't Shohei's 500th home run or 1,000th home run. It's not a World Series winning. It's not a playoff clinching. But it is his first. So I think if I had the presence of mind in that moment, I'd go, I don't know what this is worth, but I'd like to go find out before
you got to take a beat. I'm not doing anything that day.
I'm going home today with this ball.
The ball is coming home with me.
That doesn't mean I won't be back. That doesn't mean we can't talk about
it. It doesn't mean I'm going to gouge you or try to be a complete asshole.
But I
got
to find out what I'm holding
here. I need to, like, especially because if I'm at that game, and if you're at that game, we probably had a couple.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I'm not going to make
I'm
a,
not
you
in
know,
my best
like,
headspace.
Yeah.
Right
so,
now.
So, I like, hopefully, someone else is with us to be like, take a minute. No, I think you want to take a minute or a night or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see what the reaction is.
Right.
And see what. And, like, I'm not saying, like, you need. You're going to gouge the person, but, like, if I don't care about the ball, like, if I'm a diehard, like, memorabilia collector, maybe I keep the ball.
Yeah.
But. If it's something that's meaningful to the team and to him,
yeah.
then sure, I'm happy.
We can
like,
talk about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm not gonna ask you for a cool couple mil for the like not, but you know, let's so, have a cover. But if you pull me aside.
And that's it. Like the fans sitting around her were kind of saying, like, hey, be careful here, right? Like don't some were saying, you know, get what you can, others were saying, you know, just take a minute here. But they pull her aside and into this like bar restaurant area and like clearly try and isolate her. They isolate her, they offer her 2 signed hats from Shohei.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I'm balking at that.
Oh.
I am at least going to meet Shohei. That at bare minimum, whatever signed thing,
maybe,
I'm...
Yeah, see, I don't give it... Like, I'm not a big memorabilia guy.
No, me neither.
Like, autograph-wise. Like, I have a handful of them from work. Yeah. Like, or, like, really kind of, like, ones that I've, you know, like, when Henry Burris retired and sure. I was working with him, I got him to sign a couple things.
Yeah.
But, like, it's few and far between. So I really don't care. But... Like, fuck your hats. I want, like, maybe give me a bat. Maybe like, make a big-ass donation to a charity. Like, I'm maybe not looking to make, but, like, I want something. I want a little something because so, I caught the ball. What are the odds?
And
but,
so they say in the piece that they've interviewed a couple different memorabilia experts who said this ball probably will eventually be worth about $100,000.
Okay.
You're offering me 2 signed hats.
Give me $25,000.
See, and here's where you could probably get me, and I'm not a big memorabilia guy either. Like you, I have a couple things that are important to me. As much about who gave them to me than, you know, actually being around, you know, the athlete or whatever. Like, I got to meet Adam Foote. Like, my dad
sure,
took
yeah.
me to do that. And that was cool. I was an Avalanche fan at the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, things like that. Or little gifts here and there that matter to you. But, and I'm also not easily anymore, as a kid I was, we could tell the story if people wanted to hear it at some point, but I'm not a big starstruck, I really want to go and meet this athlete guy,
agree,
like
yeah.
that's, but I do think it might matter to me if I'm a fan of, so Aaron Judge hit a record-breaking home run in Toronto, and by all accounts, the person who caught the ball, he was very gracious to, invited them down, let's spend some time together. You know, did hook them up with some, and they were happy enough with that. But if I'm a Jays fan and a Yankee hits a big home run and I get my hands on it, yeah, you can pay me if you want.
Oh,
yo,
that's the other thing too. Like, if you're a big fan of the team or the player,
yeah.
then sure, maybe you don't. Maybe you just do it for a meet and
right.
greet and like a picture
right.
and
if
like
Bo Bichette does
maybe
it.
Maybe some ticket,
right.
maybe some tickets to a playoff game.
That's it. Like, I'm happy to go and meet Bo Bichette.
But yeah, if it's the opposite team, like yeah. no, okay, no. we're gonna have a different.
We're
kind
gonna
of conversation.
Have a very different conversation.
But ultimately,
here.
Like whatever you want to get out of that. There's no reason for like what stadium security to pull you aside. Number one, they don't.
They
don't have that or authority to.
No, they don't.
Keep
now,
you
one of the things that
somewhere.
A decent stadium does is offers to escort you to your car because you're leaving with something very valuable.
Yeah.
People saw you on the big screen. People in your section,
which they will do too if you won like the 50-50
yep.
and win $100,000 or $80,000.
We're gonna help you get out
yeah.
of here. In this case, not only were they not doing that, they also said we may not give you the. What do they call it? It's not the validation. There is a term for, you know, officially showing you or marking the ball that this is the ball, the official, like.
Yo, that's so over, like,
it's
overstepping
so much
in
shit,
so many
man.
Ways.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're not cops.
No, they're not.
Like, they can't just, and even cops can't just pull you into a room and, like, detain you indefinitely
right.
while they get an answer. So
let's say this person is a Dodgers fan. You're happy to have the Shohei ball. I'm not going to rip you off. I don't need a bunch of money.
No.
Even if I do find out this is worth $100,000, you know what I'd like? I'd like to meet Shohei. I'd like the 2 signed hats. And I'd like probably a set of season tickets.
Yeah.
No cash.
Yeah.
I'd like to keep coming to this game, to these games and supporting the team.
Give me a half season pass. Like,
something like that.
Or,
like,
if,
great,
like, or if, the, like, if I have if
like
I have
Tampa
family.
Bay with Tom Brady, they gave season tickets to this guy as
yeah.
part of the... And I think they said... There was a gift, not a, like it wasn't actually a gift card, but we're going to turn around and give you the run of the merch store while it's closed.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, grab whatever you want, a set of season tickets, and we'll all be on our way here. Like,
yeah.
that stuff
just,
is fun to me.
There's good ways to do it, like
yeah.
good business, good PR, whatever.
Right.
Pulling them aside.
Harassing
into
them.
Like a black site. Like.
Right. And not letting her husband get near to be...
Yeah,
like
that's
discuss
really,
that. It's
that's gonna
sneezy,
that won't be the end of that. Like that's legitimately. Yeah. I'm pretty sure not.
The Athletic did ask the Dodgers to reach out, like they to comment, and they said, "Well, we have no comment right now, but we're not necessarily done with the convert."
Yeah.
Like now that it's bad, a light.
And like
shot
they're, yeah, they're like they're significant. Like when Lewis Ward for the Red Blacks was closing in on his like his record kick, we always had someone watching kicks and
sure.
catch it to make
where
sure
did
we
that
got,
go
to get the ball
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And the odd one would fly out, but the fans and you give the fans something like if the and it you know, doesn't end up being the record ball, but
yeah.
we think it could be if he misses the next one. So you give
sure
them whatever for that. So like there's always
yeah.
just good ways to handle it. But again. Pulling someone in
and harassing them
against their will
yeah.
to another play, like no,
that's not how you do.
Whatever
this.
You want to get out of it, that's not. That's,
you,
so I would be pissed just based on that.
Do you think I'm out of line in saying I want season tickets?
No.
Yeah, because I'm not asking you for cash. I'm not asking show. I just want to keep coming and supporting the team.
Ask for.
I want to be here.
Like, ask for whatever you want, depending on what like season tickets to a like a major MLB organization.
Yeah.
Not a
right,
like you're not losing anything out of that unless you're selling out literally every student
sure.
that plays every single game,
right?
Then you're not losing anything out of giving someone something or just that, like, at least starting the conversation, like, and having a bit of a like a debate about what you
yeah,
want. Or a
so, this person ended up, like I said, they offered her two signed hats, and that was it. She ended up with two signed hats, a signed ball, and a signed bat.
Yeah,
and
that's that garbage.
Was, and she walked away saying, you know what. Okay.
Maybe she doesn't care.
She seemed to be sort of annoyed that this is how it played out, but like, you know what? It's Shohei Ohtani. This stuff will be worth something. But to me, it's not even, like I said, it's not about
no.
the money. It's more about the experience. I caught this cool ball. Wouldn't it be cool if I was the one who got to give it to Shohei and then I get to keep coming to games because you gave me some tickets or something?
Yeah, like, I wasn't, you know.
I don't blame anybody.
I wasn't kidnapped
no,
by
exactly.
your like rent-a-cops in your building.
And I wouldn't have a problem necessarily with, like, if you are this person and you do want money, cool. You got the ball.
Yeah.
Ask for money. That's just not me. Now,
you're
I do
no,
understand.
You're under no obligation to give the freaking ball
no.
away. So it's like, do, like, ask for what
do you
want.
Yeah.
Or, you and, see, you. And see where they end up.
But like I said, yeah, I'm not ever going to shy away from the fact that, yeah, if it's a Yankee, you're going to pay for that. If it's a Blue
and
Jay,
I'd probably
yeah,
go, like,
you know, let's
like I have, like, you know, there's kids in my family that would be like, you know, like, let my, you know, nephew or my cousin or whatever meet.
Yeah,
Shohei.
Sure.
And
yeah,
like,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
like, let's and give me playoff tickets or like give him a hat or whatever. Like, depending on what your goal is, like, you should have the opportunity to negotiate again without getting kidnapped.
Yeah. When I was
allegedly,
yeah,
I don't want to get you sued.
No, of course. When I was 12 or 13, something like that, I really liked the Colorado Avalanche because I was a front running douche.
Me too.
They had won the cup in '96 and they were awesome.
But I was also a huge like Patrick Waugh, Sakic
yeah,
fan. Like
yeah.
that was yeah,
100%.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And so my dad knew a guy who was helping or was in charge of building Adam Foote's new home in Whitby. So my dad picked me up one afternoon. He's like, we're going to go. He didn't tell me where we were going until we were just about there. And I froze hard when he came and talked to me, like just shy, mad, didn't have like, he's like trying to make conversation. I'm giving these like wimpy little one word answers. And the one part that I'll never forget, and there is up on the wall there, signed Adam Foote to picture, and I got a signed hat from that day as well. But he says to me, he goes, so you're actually like Colorado? And I was wearing the Colorado hat, and legitimately, not because dad had picked one up while we were on our way over to meet him. And I said, yeah. And he goes, did you like us when we were in Quebec? And I said, no. And he kind of looked at my dad. And he goes, yeah, nobody did. That's why
yeah,
we're in Colorado.
That's why we're here now. Actually, that's like a little side story, but
yeah.
this working in the 67s world, that's one of the coolest things. Like, when Jeff Brown was the head coach here, I walked into his office and there would all be someone rant, like, for, and Adam Foote was just like hanging out on his couch one day, like, they were shooting the shit. And so, like, walk in there and like hear some old war stories.
Yeah.
And like, but that always happened, like, when Cody Clark, Wendell Clark's kid, played for us,
right?
He'd walk into the coach's office and Wendell would be just like, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Or like, there's been so many over the years of these guys, like, kind of guys that I watch play, be like, you're just like in our basement, like 60s built
right.
arena, just hanging out, having a beer after a game or whatever. It was,
yeah.
That's always kind of a neat thing. But yeah, I like that. I like that more than, you know, getting an autograph from
yeah.
Billy like that.
My
coolest piece.
Yeah.
My most prized piece of sports memorabilia is when John Gott chugged the beer in the end
yes.
zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he left, he moved out west. after he was done playing, and he gave me the jersey that he was wearing when he did it and signed it. He gave it to me first. I was like, you got to sign it. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? You want an autograph? You want my autograph? Like, I'd known him for years at that point. I was like, yeah, this one in particular, like, yeah, just in case course. I want to sell it one day.
Sure. Authenticity.
So that one's
That's the word I was looking for.
That one's a cool one. And like my Burroughs jersey
and stuff, of course.
And actually, John Gott's back in town now. He's joining the Ottawa Police. He's been in training with them now, so he's going to be part of our. We can get to that in a bit. The 10th anniversary celebration.
Yes, but, we are going to get to that.
Like, everything's comes full circle. But sure. The beer soaked John Gott.
That was such jersey. A cool moment.
It was the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier on, when I was saying they wouldn't validate the ball, it's authenticate.
Authenticate
is the term. There's normally a.
Also,
certificate
not their call.
If it was
security being like, we're not going to authenticate your ball. I'm like, I don't think you guys are the ones that.
Oh, they're clearly speaking on someone's behalf.
Do that.
But pretty douchey behavior. You mentioned the basement there of your old school arena. I'm curious, you've got new tenants in there this year. I don't know if you and I have talked on the show since they moved in and got the season started, but the PWHL has been working out of there, been down to a couple games, won tickets to another one here coming up in April. What's the. You know, the match been like there, working with your people and having the team in there. It seems every game you turn on TV, the place is largely full. What's it been like?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's so cool. I knew when we got the team here, and it was a kind of an interesting process because before they announced all the teams, we were basically told that this league's starting. If Ottawa gets a team, and they hadn't decided on the cities yet at that point, they'll play at a TD place.
Right.
So we knew that. If they came to Ottawa, we were going to get it. So that was exciting at first. Then they decided on Ottawa as a city. And so I assumed it was going to be a cool thing and that there's the demand for it.
Yeah.
And it was going to be high-level hockey. And it has been all those things, but like on
it's been
steroids.
Better than I expected,
like it's
yeah.
got, it's, yeah, it's got, it's pleasantly, not a surprise, just it's blown me away.
I assumed it would be successful. Like it would be fine, but. The demand has been
yeah, and
off
the fan
the
base
chart.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. That place is packed every night for these games.
Yeah.
The families, kids. You see so many young kids,
yeah.
like not just young girls, but like families just bringing their whole like all their kids and experiencing this, and it's loud and like raucous and.
I was down at the home opener. There was a girl holding a sign
and Shride,
that said,
"Like I know Shrides could like yeah. when you boo Poulin."
Did it
on the opposite team, and again, like that's how big it is because, like, she's a friggin' Canadian,
yeah, well,
call hockey
me when you're
hero,
playing
but like,
Canada again.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the
so, like, that kind of stuff is the coolest thing because people are like, no, this is our team,
yeah,
and it's been a bit of an up and down season for them. They've, you know, like, been tight games and some rough losses, but it's like
they've
the place is literally
playoffs,
full all
yeah.
the time, mm-hmm. and it's just been, it's the people in the organization that we deal with as, you know, their tenants in the building that we cross over with, they're just wonderful people. I can't say anything remotely negative about the experience with
what,
the PWHL.
What kind of things
here.
Did you guys have to do to get ready? Was there new dressing room facilities?
Yeah, we renovated the locker rooms downstairs to give them like their proper own space.
Yeah.
And, once the new arena gets built, which again it got through another big part the other day in terms of voting,
Lansdowne 2.0.
Yeah, and so it's ticking along. So once that starts, they'll have a dedicated space there as well. But in the interim, they've got new facilities down there, and can use our
any scheduling conflicts with the 67s and practices.
No, you know what, like
anything like that. Or?
Fortunately, that is not my job at all because scheduling stuff. For me, like, I can hardly keep up with my own calendar. Like, I almost forgot to come here today. But, but the people that we have doing the stadium scheduling are awesome. And no, there hasn't been any. It's been so seamless and smooth, and they've just been a delight to work with. And like, everything about it has just been great. And I've been just so impressed by the professionalism, and the caliber of play has been awesome.
So good.
And you can't say good. Enough good things about it, and the fans are totally bought in, and the place is loud as hell, and it's only going to get better from here. Like this is the first season of a league that they did not have that much time to get up and running. But it's like what they've done this year is amazing in itself. But give it another year, in terms of branding,
you get some logos
and
some fan
bases
going.
It's going to be, it's just going to get better. Yep. Like. You see some of the Twitter comments and no one watches this. Name me seven players, for example, just a random example.
We'll get to that.
And it's, or people be, early on be like, oh, they're going to sell out the first game and then, you know, it'll kind of wind down. It has not. It's wound up.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's struggled a little bit, hasn't, you know, blown the league away yet.
Right.
But the fans are there every game, and it's as loud at any game as every game's kind of the same
and it's,
vibe.
It's got
cool.
a different feel to it than other pro sports because, like you said, of the kids and the families that are there. Like, the cheer is a little more high-pitched than being
whatever,
right? And that's such a cool vibe because it reminds you who's in the building and who's seeing this. And maybe more importantly, who's having this normalized for them.
Yeah.
My earliest memory is going to a hockey game. I went to as many women's games as men's games, right? There is a generation of kids who will come up saying that. It was just always been like that, whereas most of us know it hasn't always been like that. But to know that there's going to be this next wave of kids. I was at the home opener. There was a girl there. She couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 and said three generations of women's hockey players on her sign. And she was sitting with her mom and her grandmother. And you're like, that is such a cool moment.
And it's,
right?
it can be life-changing for some of these girls. Like, when you're like, I have three little sisters and two of them are 12-year-old twins.
Right.
And like, and for them to go, like, to see that, like, that representation and like that level of play.
Right.
Like, it's one thing to, like, you know, you watch the women's team, like, in the Olympics, which is awesome. But, like, to have it in your own kind of backyard and see it, you know, it's...
Well, that home opener, we were all there to cheer on Ottawa, but Marie-Philippe Poulin was in the building. Like, that girl you've seen 100 times on TV in the Olympics is here in front of you today playing.
And every team has high-level...
100%.
You know, international, like...
Brianne Jenner, and Nat Spooner across the league, Alex Carpenter.
And the players have been unbelievable. Yeah. You see it, like, their community outreach... You just see these kids at these games, and they're so.
Yeah,
it's one thing, you know, to be like, I'm not a little girl myself, but like to like see the faces of some of these kids to like they're probably already hockey fans. They probably have their own NHL team.
Yep,
but to see that, you know, like this could be me.
Yeah,
in a few years, that's like a significant kind of life changing thing for a lot of these like young female athletes that are 100%. Seeing what the next step could be for them.
Yeah,
was it one of the games this season and. There's a young family with two little girls and a little boy, like the three kids, two of them girls, and I was sitting right behind him. One of the kids says, like, one of the girls said something to their parents, like something to the effect of, "Mom, like, it's so cool that they all had like you could see their ponytails," and like for her it was such a big like, "This is what I look like,"
right?
Like when I play hockey and I, you know, I have put my hair in a ponytail and like this looks like what my team looks like, but like a few years down and like. Getting paid to do it.
And it's not Jagger's mullet. It's women. It's like, and their actual.
It was so kind of innocent and so just like.
Yeah, that's what I look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was so relatable all of a sudden to these kids. And
right.
That's a pretty neat thing to see.
Well, it's been an exciting thing around TD Place. Like I said, been down there for at least one more, but there is more excitement coming to TD Place. This is the 10th anniversary of the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Crazy.
You know there's a part that I'm the most interested in. We'll get to that in a second. But you guys have already started putting out some of the promotional material, some of the things we can look forward to. You know, what's gone into putting together this 10th anniversary season and everything that's going to play out? You know, what can we look forward to?
A lot. Like, the off-season's been all about that.
Yeah.
And we have... You know, a lot of credit to our marketing team and, you know, our social media team who have really kind of led the charge on this one. But it's a big deal. I've been there for 8 of them. So it's exciting to kind of see this get to this point because it seems like it hasn't been that long. But it's a decade.
It is
almost.
A decade.
I was covering the team before that, too. So, like, I feel like I've got a piece of this, man.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And I have a great crep ring, so fuck off.
Wow.
But
Trump card.
But no, it's going to be a fun year. We're going to have new jerseys, like new uniforms coming out.
Yeah.
We're going to have an all decade team. We're doing a vote for the top 10 players in Red Blacks history that are going to get unveiled during the year. We're going to have tons of alumni coming back throughout the year, throughout the season from various incarnations of this team, including my man Hank. Henry Burst is going
to
be there for the home opener. He's going
to
be there
for the home opener. All right.
And I was on the phone with him for like 45 minutes the other day, and he's so fired up. He's like, he's bringing his wife Nicole and their kids. And like, it's so, like, 10 years is long enough. Like, when we won the Grey Cup in 2016, his boys were like little dudes and like hanging out in the locker room where all like everyone's smoking cigars. We're like, oh, the kids are here. And now they're like, they're teenagers and his oldest is off to college. And, but they're all coming back for it. And they're all super fired up to be part of it. And, you know, guys like John Gott are obviously going to be there.
Sure.
And
looking for his jersey back.
Won't spoil it. All. No, he's not getting his jersey back. He'd have to buy it from me. Or now that he's a cop, he's got to give me like one of those like courtesy cards. Like if I get pulled over for speeding,
free pass on a couple of things.
It's going to be a celebration of the history of this team the whole season, coupled with lots of wins from the current incarnation.
That'd
of
be great.
Yeah. And
so is that all? Like obviously, every year the team does different promotions and theme nights for every home game.
Yeah.
Is the 10th anniversary stuff going to be centralized around the home opener, or will that weave throughout?
No, it's going to weave throughout the year. Like we're going to have the opener. We're going to have a legacy night. We're going to have guys kind of popping up in different things throughout the season. The Canada Day game is going to be that kind of party. More alumni, live concert, which I can't divulge yet, but that'll be coming soon. We're going to have some of our typical theme nights different theme nights throughout the year, but the anniversary celebration is going to be going on throughout the year in different ways, whether it's, you know, new uniforms that we'll wear a couple times and a couple other little surprises to come. But
So one of the things that caught my attention, as you mentioned, your promotions team, your social media team put out there was a suggestion that there was going to be a Red Blacks 10th anniversary beer.
What?
And I'm intrigued by such things, Hoff. You may know this about me. That caught my attention. I understand it isn't quite, or at least I didn't see you carry any cans in here, so I can only assume it's not ready yet. Otherwise, that would be very poor form.
Imagine? Yeah, it's great. It's delicious. I had three last night.
Going to go home and have a couple more? What can you tell us about it so far? I'm not sure how much of this is supposed to remain a surprise until it's unveiled, but thus far, what can you tell us about this upcoming Red Blacks 10th anniversary beer?
No comment.
Mm.
No, we did announce it. It is happening. It is not physically in existence yet because we're still a little bit ways out from the year, but we are going to have a special Red Blacks 10th anniversary beer, and it's going to be it's called the Blitz Brew.
You'd love it.
Blitzing, you understand, is football terminology.
Getting blitzed. it has multiple meanings. It's fine.
That's good wordplay. Eh?
Thanks.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's through our major sponsors in Labatt, and it's through Goose Island.
Okay.
Which is a Labatt property, and they are whipping this up for us, and it's going to be sold at games. And I may be able to bring a couple in here just to, give her a little taste.
Yeah,
but that's going to be, again, like one of the things that we unveiled during the year that's going to be early on. And you're going to be able to grab a Blitz Brew. And I love the special edition beers. Like after the Grey Cup in 2016, there was a Red Blacks. I think it was a Bud kit, but it was a branded can.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I still have a couple. If I like full ones, I'm pretty sure they would not be remotely drinkable at this point, but like they'll never get open.
I mean, it was Bud.
I love that.
Didn't start.
It's a great way.
Sorry, sponsor. That was me.
I love Bud and everything they put out.
Yeah.
But yeah, those will never get open because I'm pretty sure they're probably in a different
state now.
But I love
decay.
That kind of, I just like a.
There was another
whether
one,
it's a
though,
new beer
too, right?
Or a can is a cool way to commemorate something big, and that's
right before the pandemic. Was there not another one? I don't think it was Bud necessarily, that had like the plaid, like the lumberjack wrap on it. I can't remember.
There was a plaid Bud. I think it was Bud as well.
Okay.
But
there was one that was just called Our Nation. That doesn't mean Bud didn't brew it, but... There was one that...
I told you I've been here for 8 years. I can't remember. They keep giving me these beers.
The stadium, you could they would have the lumberjack wrap, and it would say Our Nation on it and whatever.
So this one is going to be a totally... not just a disguised existing beer. This is going to be a new beer.
Is there a meeting, like a tasting to settle on a style, anything like that?
Fuck, I hope so. Yeah. Like, I haven't been invited to it yet.
Oof. Okay.
Can you send this link to like Mark Gowdy, our CEO, and maybe our partnership team to make sure I'm involved?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and me.
No, honestly, I have they're gonna hook us up, and it's gonna be, you know, I'm not entirely sure what exactly the style of it. It's gonna be a sessionable kind of
it's not gonna be a triple. No, you're not IPA, gonna get 9.5%.
I can just hear my dad my parents are so different that way. My mom loves a hoppy IPA. Like, her favorite is Flying Monkey Juicy Ass, which she always laughs when she orders because she says Juicy Ass.
Yeah.
Whereas my dad will be like, I don't want any of that fucking hoppy shit. So it's going to be an approachable, tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, a crowd pleaser. You're trying to sell it to 20,000 people. Exactly. It's got to be a sporting afternoon, probably a golden ale.
It'll be a great thing to crack on a nice day right before we trounce the competition.
That, well, we'll get to the team in just a second. That juicy ass IPA always makes me think of, I'm sure it's a thing in a lot of places. When I was in college with this girl, we went with a bunch of people to some karaoke night, and she kept going up and getting this drink. And I think it's normally a shot, but they were making it bigger for it to be a drink or whatever. And you've probably heard, maybe
those are the dangerous ones. The shots that get transformed into full cocktails.
I thought you meant the women. Yeah. She was a dangerous.
Also that.
Yeah. The drink or the shot or whatever was called a juicy pussy. And that's what she was drinking all night, and that was fine. I was drinking Canadian all night. I hadn't yet stumbled into my my craft beer days and wouldn't have been able to afford it anyway. And so she was taking care of that. I was doing my own thing, and at some point she's like, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to go and sing something. Can you go get me a drink? My eyes got a little wide, and I'm like, okay. So I went up, and she's laughing at me because I'm kind of blushing. She goes, just ask for a JP. You'll be fine. I went, cool. So I walked up, and I guess it must have been obvious because it was like two 21-year-old girls working the bar.
You're lucky you didn't get arrested with
Right, and that's it. So I'm walking up, and I must have already been blushing. And so I said, can I get a Canadian and a JP? And that one girl who's working the bar looks back at her. She goes, not till you say your real say its real name.
Yes.
So I don't know if the girl I was there with set me up or if this was just a juicy pussy.
Well, that was like, remember like back in the day, like you go to a bar for like someone's like 19th birthday and you got like the shot with the whipped cream, and like it would be like either a blowjob or a muff diver, depending on what your preference was. But it was like, it was in a martini glass, like a shot, a shot of like Bailey or something shitty with whipped cream, and you had to do it without your hands.
Yeah.
it's the most, every time I've seen that in a bar, I'm like, whose
birthday
turning
is it?
17 today. Yeah. Like, why?
Yeah. No, I didn't realize it until that moment that I was apparently a little shy. Did not want to be asking for that at the bar. And
My mom, when she orders a juicy ass, just giggles. She's like, you have one of those juicy asses. Like, yes, weird lady. Yeah. Like, yes, we do.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's...
So, we go on little good side trips,
well,
you and I together.
That's half the fun.
Yeah.
There was somewhere I was, the actual off season for the Red Blacks, the football team that will be in the center of this 10th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys. It's been an interesting off season. It's been an aggressive off season. A new quarterback. There's been some other pieces brought. Like, I'm curious, what's the vibe? What's the mood around the front office? Everybody feel like it's been a good off season? I don't have to remind you that the last couple seasons haven't been all that much fun for the fan base.
Hey.
But I think there's a lot of people sort of in a, maybe a little bit of a reserved, you know, show me, but in a good place, having seen this offseason. Went, yeah, okay, I can see this moving in the right direction. What's sort of the vibe around the offseason?
For starters, I totally agree. Like, if I was just a ticket buying fan of this team, I would be excited, but, you know,
reserved.
Like, I want to see the results on the field, which is a completely fair, like
reasonable.
You're spending money on these tickets and on whatever, you know, whatever else you get at the stadium. So yeah, like I want to see the results, and the vibe is amazing. You know, we have our football ops team led by Sean Burke, the GM, is just, I mean, number one, they're just a bunch of just good human beings, and they're fun guys to be around, and chirp me regularly. So like, you'll appreciate
that, because
I walk into the office, and like every office I walk by, I've got someone just. Something Hoff, the Hoff this, Hoff that. I'm like, guys, I just want to come see how you're doing.
The whole office, just letting them have it.
That's exactly what's happening. I wasn't sure what was going on in my headphones there for a second. No, it's like, man, these guys work so hard. Like, the off season is such a misnomer because these guys are just always after it. And yeah, the off season has been really good. I like getting a guy like Drew Brown – at quarterback is exciting.
I was so impressed with that move, not just because I think there's a chance, like a lot of people said, you know, in terms of the backup quarterbacks around the league who might be ready to break out, a lot of people recognized him. Like, the consensus
pick.
I was so impressed that Berkey said, that's the guy we want, and I'm going to go get him. We're not going to wait for free agency. We will give up an asset. Let's just get this done now and not risk getting into a bidding war with someone else. This is our guy. Just go get it done. Now, we'll see if he pans out, but I love that aggressiveness.
You got to be aggressive. There was no fucking around with this one. Like, it was like, we like this guy. He's shown in, you know, it's tough, right, for a young quarterback to come up behind, especially a guy playing behind a guy like Zach Caleros.
Sure, yeah.
Who's just such an incredible kind of CFL legend, but at the same time, he learned so much from being behind a guy like that. You saw him in kind of spot duty when Zach went down last year and what he was able to do. And so that was, you see that, you're like, this guy's ready to take the next step. And the big kind of indicator for me is that his former team, they also knew that he was ready to take the next step.
Right.
Like, they knew they weren't going to bring him back as a backup because they could see this guy was ready to go to the next phase of his career. And that's obviously what our team saw too. And he's, you know, the conversations I've had with him, he's a really kind of, he's laid back. He's like focused and just like a chill guy who's really competitive as hell. Just talking to him, you can see how much he wants this. And it's no secret, you know, we're based on what he's making going into the season, he's going to have the ball to run with initially.
Yep.
To have that starting job. Obviously, we have some solid quarterbacks like Dustin Crum, who just, you know, in a season that was so weird and difficult last year for a young guy like that, who was, you know, slotted in as the fourth guy, basically, coming out of camp, to take the reins like that and do what he did was amazing. But at the same time, you gotta, you know, we don't have the luxury with the years that we've had recently to not make moves and be a little bit dramatic and just hardcore about what we want to do and make sure we got those pieces in place. So you're gonna have
some depth there too.
There's gonna be competition. Jeremiah's there, and Jeremiah, I've never been more devastated for a player since I've been here to see what he went through coming back from his initial injury and then to get hurt the way he did in his first game back. But you can't, like, people scoff at, like, oh, you know, good guy in the room or whatever. Like, he's unbelievable.
Yep.
In the room with young quarterbacks, even if he's not playing.
Sure. No, and that's,
he's the best possible, and he's such a good dude.
And he'll be given a chance here. Yeah. Like, Crum will be given a chance here, and we'll see.
Tyree Adams is recovered from his knee injury. Like, he's there. There's
depth at that position.
And there's always going to be competition. Like, it's 100%. Not, you know, Drew is going to be the, you know, he's going to get that shot.
Got the inside lane.
But that's going to spark the other guys, you know, so if you end up with like a second and third guy that are that fired up to see that they have the opportunity to push and to keep everything competitive, then like that's the best situation to be in, I think. But Drew is going to, you know, just every sign points to him being a dynamic and exciting quarterback who can make plays. And you've seen it in limited time so far. And so, yeah, he was a big one to get. And then Dominic Rimes. Excited about, because I worked with Dom before when he was in Ottawa the first time, and I absolutely adore the guy. He's just he's fucking one of the funniest guys in the locker room. He's laid back, but like competitive and intense at the same time. He was getting good when he was here. Like, he was making plays, and then he went to BC and turned into a star in this league.
Yeah.
As a receiver. So getting him back now, he's still in his prime. He lives here in the off season. His fiance is from here and he loves the city. And so he's so excited to be back. And he's a guy that, also the dancing, the celebrations with Dom are next level. So like, it's, and he said that too. He's like, we're going to party. So like, we're going to score and we're going to party. So like, a guy like him just,
well, another target for these quarterbacks too, right? Like somebody that,
and he's the kind of lanky, like shifty guy that can go up and, you know, you underthrow him, overthrow him.
Yeah, he can go get it.
And he's not, you don't look at him and necessarily be like, you know, super speedy or like, he's so chill. Like when you talk to him, and then he's out there and you don't know what he's going to do. So he's a guy that can find the ball.
Yeah.
And he has here before. He did BC. Yeah, you know, over a few seasons, and he's going to do it again. But yeah, he's a good another fan favorite who people are just going to love to get to know again, and a big signing for us this year.
My beer is empty. So we're going to take a little break here. We're going
to
come back. We're going to get another beer. We'll talk about some other things. We'll talk about someone who came in hot and is going out cold. We'll get to that in just a second.
Let me get this straight. You mowed down all that corn to build a football field, hoping it would lure the ghosts of former players down from football heaven?
Uh-huh. And look! Hey, I don't recognize any of these guys.
Why are there two 50-yard lines?
Aw, damn it! I built a Canadian field!
Oh, sorry, hoser.
My bad, eh?
Hey, nice rouge there, Gordo.
Hey, Homer, throw you a Hail Mary?
Shut up, Flutie.
Let's jump back in on her here, and new round. This is from Flora Hall, which is in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, anyway. And actually, I think you're the first person I ever heard mention this brewery to me.
Great spot.
Yeah, and I've never actually been in, placed an order or two.
But, yeah, just off Bank Street on Flora, like north of the
Glebe
highway.
People.
Yeah, just outside of the Glebe.
Yeah, okay. Suburban Glebe.
It's more like officially, I think, center town, like on the cusp.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
Have you had this beer before?
I have, actually. I like this one. And it's an American oat pale ale. So it's like oats are in it. So it's like having like a healthy like bowl of granola or something.
Sure. That's the way I'm going to look at it. Yeah. I haven't had this one before. And I
haven't had it in a while, for sure.
So the Flora Hall order I did was a couple months ago, but this has been sitting in the fridge, and I drank most of it, but somehow this got pushed to the back, and yeah.
Well, this is a balanced ale brewed with oats and wheat, soft in body, with a breezy,
much like
high
myself.
Hop aroma,
okay,
and only a subtle bitterness. Amiable.
That part's not like me.
Drinkable.
Yeah. My bitterness is not so.
Do you love how I read it like I was on like a 900 number?
I thought really it was more like a book reading, like something.
So I'm gonna read my autobiography one day.
Oof, it's gonna be a tough.
You can oof all you want. You're gonna be one of the three people to buy it. So
you're not even gonna give me a copy.
Ah, fuck. I guess I'll give you a copy.
Yeah, because you
I'll
know you're gonna come on.
You.
This,
yeah, I know.
You're gonna come on this stupid show to promote it. Yeah. So at that point, you're gonna have to.
It's a tough. I'm gonna have to find two other people to buy it.
Yeah. Sorry, we'll promote it here. Maybe one of them will.
Please send Matt your suggested titles for my autobiography.
Money? No.
Hoff the Wall.
That's not terrible. There was something right off the top of the show you said that was reasonably humorous and would have made an okay book title, but it's escaping me now.
Yeah, I can't. That was a long time ago.
Maybe in the edit, I'll have gone back and grabbed it and dropped it back in here.
Northeast IPA brewed with powerhouse hops. Powerhouse hops.
Love that. Powerhouse hops.
Citra.
Hop. We'll see how much work I feel like.
Hoffley handsome?
Yeah, no.
No.
That's Hoffman.
Matt's vetoing that one.
100%, buddy. Why don't we talk about something that made a little news here, especially in the nation's capital, but well, I was going to say across the hockey world, mostly in the nation's capital, I guess, last week. And that was some tweets from former senator and one of the co-hosts of the Coming In Hot podcast with Jason York and Brent Wallace. Bobby Ryan went after Megan Chyka, who does some really solid work if you're an analytics nerd like myself in the hockey realm. And so I follow her for that reason. And on last Monday, she was tweeting, as was most of my timeline, about one of the games in Women's March Madness. It was Iowa and UConn? No, that's not right. Regardless, a huge matchup in Women's March Madness, and we'll get to how ignorant I am about that here in just a second, but you're seeing it now.
It's okay. I can't correct you.
Yeah. No, I was waiting for you to bail me out.
Well, I also can't name seven players, so right. Fuck us both.
Yeah. Well, apparently that's what this comes down to, and so Megan Chyka is tweeting about loving this game. Now, the ratings turn out to back her up pretty well. It outranks numerous sporting events, the last Masters, the last...
it's just awesome basketball.
And people
Period.
Are watching it.
Yeah.
And everyone that night was... Well, I couldn't believe, Hoff, I could not believe the people were choosing this over the final Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania, but that's what was happening. People were passing
nerd.
On Monday.
Do you have a nerd? Do you have a button like a hotkey that just says nerd?
No.
Yeah, when you talk about wrestling, should have that.
I've never needed it.
Anyway, continue.
Go fuck yourself.
That's
also pretty good. Yeah, yeah, that works.
So Bobby Ryan decides to reply to Megan Chaika, who's just saying, why does it seem like everyone's watching this game? Oh, because everyone's watching this game. And on my Twitter timeline, it sure felt that way.
Like, well, objectively, it was true.
Yeah, the ratings come out to support that statement. And he says, essentially, you know, yeah, come on. Nobody really cares about this. Name 5 to 7 players, first and last, essentially saying, or you're not a real fan. And to her credit, she could have got fired up. She replies and says, oh, Bobby, you got to watch the next one. It's going to be great. Trust me. Like, she's trying to stay on the positive train. Give this a chance. Yeah. This is going to be really fun. And he's not having it. And for the rest of basically the next 24 hours, he spends the day fighting off people in his mentions who are ripping him.
Oh, fighting it off is putting it pretty friggin' loosely, too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't exactly a clever battle of
the
wits.
No, and he's actually at different points telling people how much money he made as an NHLer, yeah, which I guess is, in his mind, relevant to that conversation. Just really an unimpressive showing from, and that's not including the one tweet that he deleted, which said, you know, come on, guys, gonna go home and pretend that women's sports matters. That tweet got deleted, but Chris Johnston, obviously one of the big hockey insiders, had already screen capped it and tweeted that out and said, Bobby, buzz off with this stuff, right? Which was a friendly way of,
like, just
friendlier way of
shut the hell
phrasing
up,
that. Yeah. And Bobby continues at that point to say that there's some sort of conflict of interest with Chris Johnston. I don't know what that was all about. That goes completely silent for a while. Brent Wallace, who is the host, anyone here in Ottawa knows him. He's been around forever covering the Sens. TSN has sent him other places in the past as well to cover big events, but that was his big gig for a long time, was being the Sens ringside reporter. They let him go not too long ago, and that's when he started up this show with Jason York and Bobby Ryan. So he tweets out the next day that he doesn't condone any of this and basically says, I'll have more to say later. There is no more episodes last week of Coming in Hot, so you know obviously something's being worked on there. There is a tweet on Thursday, I believe, from the account that says, no show today, we'll be back next week. And then Friday at 6 o'clock, the Coming in Hot Twitter account tweets out that that they and Bobby Ryan have agreed to mutually part ways, and he won't be part of the show anymore. So there's a number of different takes on this or places to go from this. But Bobby's been through some things. I think it's worth pointing that out. Had a terrible childhood that led him into some bad places, and he worked hard to get out of them. And, you know, the fan base sort of stood by him. And I think a lot of people, you know, I talked to a couple of friends of mine up here who are, you know, Sens fans or just hockey fans. I don't want to overstate it because I don't want to make someone the victim who really isn't the victim, but a lot of people were feeling kind of betrayed that they had stood by Bobby for as long as they did, only to find out, like, this is how you feel about this stuff. Like, it would have been one thing if he had sent his first tweet to Megan Chaika. She comes back with her friendly or playful, whatever you want to call it, like, Bobby, come on, give this a chance, you're gonna love it. If it just dies there, I think you go, you know what, that was a stupid thing to say, but so be it. It's the fact that he just kept doubling down and showed that this is really how he feels about it. I think a lot of fans of Bobby Ryan, you know, and just hockey fans in this market who stood by him for a long time felt like, man, like we really wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt here, and it turns out you were kind of a shithead about this. Is that overstating it? I don't think that's overstating
it. No, it's not at all. And I feel like this is a tough one for me and a multifaceted one for a variety of reasons, but I think number one, you're bang on. If he just left it at the first tweet,
yeah,
probably nothing else comes from it. I mean, the tweet itself was like,
we would all have our opinions.
I've seen seventh graders,
sure,
like tweet something more like a less immature point. Like, it's just so like, oh, like, you don't like this, like, name three people or name whatever people that do this. Like, no, like, you're
an Avs fan, name three people beyond Adam Ford.
So that, like, the initial tweet was ridiculous, but like, and again, and I tweeted this too, like, you don't aren't interested in women's sports, don't like women's sports, that's
okay.
Totally fine.
Yeah,
that's a you thing. And all these like free speech people in the comments, like, you guys are right about that one. He can have any opinion.
Yeah.
What it doesn't mean is that there's no consequence to what you say in a public setting, especially when you have a following like that. And like, I'll preface this too, like, yes, like, Bobby's issues, like, and his alcoholism and have been well documented.
Yeah.
And so I really have an issue with people replying to these tweets being like, with some of the nasty stuff they're saying to him, like, you know, it's
I
like,
saw even people who were ripping Bobby for the take responding, like, going, saw, hey, leave that out of it, get that shit out of here.
I saw tweets like put the bottle down, like, go, like, and like, that's offside. And it has no, like, what, like, no matter what is happening, that shit is offside, none of your business,
right?
And so just, you know, take issue with the comments, but like, let's not get into that crap. But again, the first comment, whatever, people are going to have a debate about it. It was the doubling and tripling down with this kind of like nonsensical, like, it was almost like, I know you are, but what am I, kind of crap. Yeah. Like, it was just so not clever. And I always say that about trolls on social media anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you want to come at me, you want to chirp someone, like be a bit clever about it. Like, you're just, so many times you see people be like, they'll see some like crazy opinion, they'll just retweet it, be like, 100%, 1,000%, oh, absolutely, oh, this, with an arrow pointing downwards. Like, get your own opinion. Like, if you want to get into the conversation, contribute to the fucking conversation.
Right.
Number one. That being said, like, it was so over the top and so weirdly kind of aggressive about people responding to it, and just, I don't know. It was a weird thing, and it was an unfortunate thing, because I've known Bobby for a while. I've interviewed him when I was a reporter. Like, I've met him in other contexts. Like, nice guy, but this was a weird one. And I've known Wally for a long time. Wally's been really good to me over the course of my career, and I've got a lot of respect for the guy. But there wasn't really another choice. Like, it's, you see all these people being like, well, the woke culture is, you got like, you know what? Like, this is a show. Their money is based on sponsorship and, you know, making money that way to actually be able to have this show. And just, sponsors are not going to keep promoting your stuff if you have this guy who's just, again, like, not cleverly, not with anything to back it up, just like going on these rants.
Well, and I'll be real with you. When you talk about you don't have to be a fan of women's sports, it's not even a sports thing. I'm not a basketball fan. And so,
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Right. Men's or women's, I'm probably not watching March Madness. But everyone else on my Twitter timeline that night clearly was. Everything was talk about Caitlin Clark. There were highlights and GIFs and everything. And people were loving it. And I'll be honest again, that was a little annoying to me. That's not what I was watching that night. That's not, I needed more Monday Night Raw.
No one's going to tell you what you want to, what you should watch, what you should like to watch.
But I don't have to stop under every one of those tweets and go, nope, you're wrong. No one cares about this. Clearly everyone but me cares about this. So just carry on with your night.
Do you know how many things there are that I don't give a shit about that people like that I don't feel compelled to?
Monday Night Raw.
I'll chime in on that.
It's just a and so I'm with you. If Bobby replies to Megan Chaika the first time with the exact same thing, name one, and she comes back with the exact same response, he kind of comes back, LOL, all right, you know, enjoy the game or whatever. I look at his reply and go, that was a really douchey thing to say. But do I think you get fired over it? No.
No.
Do I think it's the fact that he keeps doubling down? It's the deleted tweet that says, pretend that women's sports matter. It's at that point, you can get in Brent Wallace's replies all you want and tell him that he didn't stand beside Bobby enough and these sorts of things. You clearly have no comprehension on the world you live in right now.
Yeah.
The sponsors are not going to stand for that. Nation is not going to stand for that. The company
it's
that's
not
working with them.
Man, like, I will, like, free speech, absolutely, I support ever, like, but there's limits to it in
you
terms
get to
of like
say what
violent.
You want,
like,
and then people get to respond. With the
like, there's limits in the sense that like if you're you know promoting violence or really like that's outside. And then anything else that's fair game, you can say whatever you want. But it's not like. It's not just carte blanche to be like,
well, and so
and
I,
not have any people replying to it and not have consequences from what you say. Like, you're not going to get arrested for your comments because that's what, you know.
Right.
But if you're working for anywhere that relies on other people supporting your work.
Yeah. Well, and so I hate to
keep using, whatever the hell you want.
I hate to keep using this as an example, but on Monday night, this coming week tonight, as the good listeners listening to this, will be the men's March Madness final. I'm not going to care. I'm just not. But all weekend, I've been reading and tweeting myself about WrestleMania, and so that's the same thing. I understand that the majority of people following me this weekend did not care about WrestleMania.
No, I don't. That's ridiculous. Right. I still can't believe that. But
so
I told Matt that wrestling's fixed earlier tonight, and he's still kind of fucked up about it. So just give him a pass. Yeah,
you would say something,
but any
horrible sport,
like I agree. Like I'm going to watch the basketball this weekend. I watched the basketball today.
Yeah,
men's and women's.
Yeah,
I couldn't name you. Number one, I couldn't name you seven players on.
Yeah,
any of the teams in either area. But
on Sunday afternoon,
I
had the women's game on in the studio because I always have sports on, right? But it's not my focus today, and the men's won't be either. My only point when I try to compare them is just that on Monday night, I'm not going to care about the big topic of sports Twitter. On Sunday night, I will care, and a lot of people won't because it's going to be WrestleMania, right? So there are nights where you go, Twitter was not... I'm not watching what everyone else
is watching
tonight.
We're not on the same.
Like
the idea that some people have that, like, because they don't care, like something that like
nobody
that should
cares
be the,
or nobody likes it.
And like all due respect, and I know a lot of former pro athletes that are great guys, but like Bobby, like no one gives a shit if you don't like women's basketball. Like it doesn't matter. Like there's a lot of stuff I like that
just
I don't expect
don't
anyone to care
it
about. Like just don't
watch it, and don't rip the people.
And
who
maybe
are
you know if you feel compelled to tweet about it once, tweet about it once.
Yeah,
but when people come at you. And you're just like,
and I know I keep
well,
bringing
you're
it up.
Not, like again,
but
I know
Megan
you're what I'm rubber and you're
to
glue.
Him was classy.
Oh,
like was very forgiving, very like, oh, Bobby, give it a chance. She could not have possibly seen coming.
I saw a couple of them that were just like, maybe just let this one like simmer for a bit before you.
Well, do you think there's anything to? Because like I said, everybody last Monday night was tweeting about this. He could have posted that response to anybody, and he chose a woman. Does that change this at all? If he had gone after a guy who was, and there were plenty of men watching that.
No,
was
I don't think so. I think the opinion sucked either way.
It did suck either way.
Yeah.
But it stands out to me that you could have chosen any number of male reporters and sent the same response.
Oh, yeah, that's
you targeted a woman instead.
I don't know what's going on.
I can't
on
get in his head.
I don't know what's going on in that guy's head. The whole thing was weird. It was immature.
Yeah.
It was just lame. Like it was just there was nothing. Like man, if you don't like
nobody
something,
cares
you
about women's
something,
sports.
Like have a
the next day, 14 million is released as the ratings. Well, it seems like some people care.
And even if that isn't enough for you, and you still want like have a like develop the ability to have like a coherent like clever argument. Like I mean, there's like I remember like being in school and you'd have to do debates as an assignment, but you have to pick the opposite side of what you believe in,
right?
To make you.
Sure.
Be able to have a debate about, you know, like to have some constructive and critical thinking abilities. This was
important
not
detail.
That. No. I don't know what that was, but the idea that you're outraged that like, oh, the woke culture.
Ugh.
Number one, if you use woke regularly, is like a like
stop.
I just tune out immediately because mainstream media. Anytime someone's like mainstream media and the woke, no, I'm out. This is like, no, you have no idea how this works. Like, it's not just like a guy talking on a microphone in his basement. This is a show that is run by a bigger organization that relies on sponsorship money.
Yeah.
And whether or not you agree with him and his takes or you, whether or not you love Bobby or hate Wally or vice versa.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah.
And like I have the right to free speech too. If I go on my Twitter and people know what I do, and it's in my like if I go on and say something really friggin' offensive, or targeted, I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna get talked to by my boss. Like, I can't just be there and be like, well, free speech. I just I accuse
like
this guy of like
protection,
you know, whatever. Yeah, like it's not that's, I don't know. I can't believe you have to. We have to have this conversation because it's so silly, and it's like you can't just say whatever you want all the time and expect to have nothing happen.
I look at the people replying to this in defense of Bobby, and like I said, I probably defend Bobby if it's just the one. Actually, it's not true. I don't defend him, but I probably don't think he deserves to be fired.
He wouldn't be in this.
Right.
If it was just the one, nothing would have happened.
So when you look at the rest of it and you look at how all this played out and you look at all the replies to the coming in hot tweet that he's out, the tweets that Brent Wallace has been getting, it's all about, well, what does it matter? Like, why does he have to like women's sports? No one has said he has to like women's sports. No one has said he has to care about March Madness. Just stop ripping people.
No one cares what you think.
Right.
Like I want to hear some interesting takes.
Yeah.
That you back up on your show.
Sure.
And have a debate.
Yeah.
Not, you know, ideally not be offensive because you hate a certain group of people. That seems like a
reasonable request.
Logical thing to assume. But you know what? Like,
so do you think, you know Wally a little bit. I don't. I've heard nothing but good things about the guy. I've never met him. He's one of the guys who, you can hook it up. You get him in here. And
Wally.
Probably not right away.
We're getting you on the show.
We'll give him a little time to go through all of this. But do you think if it's just the one, you know, there's maybe 3 minutes off the hop of the next coming in hot where we kind of talk about it and then the show carries on. Do you think like they would have tried to have get around this and keep him? Like, Wally, to me, is the guy, and Yorkie, too, but Wally's the guy out in front, right? Wally's the one that, it feels like he got put in a terrible position where, like, this is my co-host, this is a guy I like, he said something ridiculous that I don't agree with, we got our jobs, like, our money, our podcast, our show is being thrown under the, you know, we're all kind of being painted with what Bobby Ryan just said.
Under the women's hockey basketball playing bus.
Yeah, like it seems like Wally, could not possibly have seen this coming, did nothing wrong, and yet was the guy who had to step out front and deal with it all.
Yeah, it sucks. And I've known Wally for years. I've talked to him this week, and I'm not gonna get into that conversation. But I know that it's been tough for him. This is a shitty situation, and the guy works really hard. Like he has, you know, like I've known him since he was at TSN, and I was a reporter. Like he's a guy that puts everything into what he's doing, and he has been passionate about his shows that he's done since he's left TSN. And yeah, it sucks. Like this is like, and they were like, you know, like he knows those guys, and he's like the good. Like this was not an easy thing to come to, and I think it also shouldn't be phrased as just Wally firing because that's not.
No,
I don't think what happened either.
They have sponsors.
Yeah, and there was conversations, and I don't know where Bobby's head was at because I don't talk to him, but I know that it was not an easy decision to come to, but you have to make decisions in the best interest of your livelihood and your own morals too. So, you know, Wally, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
he'll keep trucking at this or whatever the next thing is after this. And
yeah,
but. You know, yeah, it wasn't a cut and dry, like, oh, this happened, so, like,
right.
Get the fuck out. It was, you know, it's a tough thing. And
yeah, it's I often wonder, these people in the replies and in whatever, are they this dense, or are they being intentionally disingenuous?
I think a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some of them are just trolls that just want to, like, ramp it up. Some people, I just think, have no idea how anything works, but I think, I think, generally, I've seen a lot of really supportive feedback.
Seen lots of that too,
and like the stereotypical
and lots of
like
it contrary
and
hope Bobby's okay, like lots of that as well, like because he has a history, a lot of like understand that this is where it had to go,
sorry
to see, but hope Bobby's okay, hope everyone is doing okay.
Yeah, and you do, like, again, it's like it's an opinion thing, and like it's a clash
of, right?
It's not whether, like, whatever Bobby's going through or not going through, again, like, I hate that people speculate on that because it's none of anyone's business. But, like, either way, it's not about, like, just hating a person. It's just, like, you can disagree with opinions. And this was shitty, and he's the consequences as a result. But it's not like you're not, you know, you don't want to tar and feather anyone or throw them, like, physically under a bus. Like, it's like, no, I hope. Like anyone, I hope Bobby's great.
He's been canceled.
Like,
this is cancel culture.
But that's again like that. That's the other one with woke and mainstream media and cancel culture. Like it's just like they have the same freaking talking
demand
points on
to be
everything.
Able to say anything I want with zero repercussions.
Yeah, that's not
okay, that's not
I
the
mean,
way the world
best,
works, bud.
Best wishes as yeah. you as you you know try to follow that line of thought, but it's not going to work out well for you. But like, yeah, it's a tough one, and
it is.
You don't want to see. You know, you don't just don't want to see this kind of thing. And I just, it was a weird one where, like, just stop talking and everything.
It was just a case
be,
of him not caring about Women's March
would be
Madness.
Fine.
He
like,
still has his
yeah,
job.
I don't, I tweeted that too. I was like, yeah. I don't, there's a lot of sports that I don't care about right. or follow or whatever, but like,
yeah. I don't care if it's men's, women's, college, NBA. Like, I'll, like, a couple years ago or last year, whenever it was, I followed the NBA finals because Jamal Murray was in it. I thought the Canadian angle was kind of fun. I'll keep a bit of an eye on it. I'm not watching minute 148 yeah. of every game.
No one's
when
forcing
the,
you.
When the national teams, men and women, were in it, you know, last year the men's team was qualifying for the Olympics. I watched a fair bit of that the year before the women doing the same. I watched a bit. But I'm just not really a basketball guy. And so,
yeah.
so on those nights on Twitter, just sit it out. Instead of telling everyone else they're wrong.
But that's the problem. Like, that's where we are with social media now. It's like, you don't have to broadcast your...
Right.
Any opinion.
Right.
Especially the shitty ones. But like...
Yeah. I got those too.
Like, no one really needs to
right.
hear it. And especially...
You just go, all right, this is my night,
like,
on Twitter.
I've been working, you know, since I was 16. Like, I have a pretty good sense of, like, what you can say publicly in the context of your job and what
job.
Might...
This
like,
one gets me fired.
Yeah. So
press
it's
the red
not,
button.
Like, part of it's just... stupidity,
yeah,
and just dumb, like, again, doubling down on stuff. But I don't know, it was a weird one, and
it was
I hope the best for Bobby, whatever,
sure.
like
and Wally,
he's not
and,
going through anything, maybe it's just but like
sure,
whatever's going on,
yeah,
Wally's a grit,
he'll be all right,
love Wally and he'll be fine,
but,
and
but this was hard on him, this
but,
was a
yeah,
tough week
no
for him.
This nothing about that was easy, and yeah. it, you know, that's part of working in like media and sports media still, because no one gets angrier than sports fans for something that, you know, you know, you're this yeah. isn't gonna like ultimately change
my
your life
part of
like maybe just like I do it for a living
can
and,
ruin my
and
day.
People anyone will vouch for the fact that I'm a basket case when I'm dealing with my teams and I'm on the sidelines for a Red Blacks game. Oh, dude, I'll probably fucked up forever, my shoulder. But like, if it like sticks with you through your week and months that you're just angry about it all the time, like viscerally angry,
yeah,
you probably need to make some constructive changes in your world, because this is not the like this is not the way to give yourself a heart attack.
Yeah. Last thing for you then. This is more of a philosophical question.
Oh,
Hoff.
Shit.
Yeah, maybe I should hit that before a couple of beers, but I'm just curious, because I know you would have been just as excited as I was last week when the Toronto Maple Leafs clinched a playoff spot for the 8th straight year. And I'm curious, as someone
hashtag
who,
first round exit.
Yeah, we are staunchly now a second round exit team. That's what we do.
Whatever fills your boots.
Yeah,
blows your hair back.
Yeah, it blows a lot. So let me just ask you, what would you, as someone who maybe doesn't care for the Leafs all that much, prefer?
Who, me?
And this would work across sports on any team, but just principally speaking, because the Leafs have built such a reputation for being playoff chokers, and it's a reasonably well-earned reputation. Would you prefer that since 2017, when the Leafs first found their way back into the playoffs, they played Washington that first year, we've been through the two Boston series, there was
the
Columbus... you could say that about any of these. It's gone kind of okay once, and that was it. You know, the loss to Montreal in the bubble... Or not the bubble, but the fanless season, the Columbus loss in the bubble, you know, a win over Tampa, a loss to Tampa, a loss to Florida in the second round. Would you prefer, since 2017, that the Leafs were just generally still shit, like they had been for the decade before, and you just knew, and you got to kick and point and laugh all year, even though your team hasn't been all that much, but you knew Toronto was just terrible too. Would you prefer that? Or do you like the fact that for the regular season, you can still watch your team and do its own thing, and Toronto will be fine, Toronto will, you know, make its way through, be a good regular season team, and you know you get to look forward to, in the playoffs, that one awful week, 2 weeks, whatever, some of us call it awful, not everybody calls it awful, where they're going to spiral out in a flaming ball of humiliation? Would you like the months long of watching them be awful,
or tolerate several months of them being pretty good to get to that one climactic moment.
This is so good, because like if this was like streamed on video, you could see how much I'm smiling. No, 100%. I love that question.
Yeah.
I would 100% rather them have a good season and flame out in the playoffs. Okay. Like seeing them crash and burn after getting everyone's hopes up all year as a Sens fan.
Right.
And like it's in my DNA. Like, I would cheer for Columbus on a Tuesday night over the Leafs. I don't get really into the Canadian or bus thing. Like, I'll cheer for some Canadian teams if they're there, but like, sure. The Leafs never. Like, I'll cheer for like fucking whatever team Bobby Ryan's fielding on the thing before I.
The Leafs fall behind.
But yeah, no, I absolutely. I'd like having like the promise building up and then watching them get slapped around for.
Yeah, because it's almost like, okay, Ottawa had another bad year, but I still have a reason to care about the playoffs in the first round to see how Toronto's going to go down this
time. That's – you want to – like, for a team that you really don't like, you want to see them crash and burn in the most, like, devastating way possible to their fan base.
If they sucked all year, the fans knew it anyway. And
yeah,
it
was, like, I don't – like, I was about to say, like, it'd be awesome to see them go to the finals and lose in overtime in the Game 7, but I don't want them to go that far. That'd be too much for me. Like,
because you're going to give me – several weeks of happiness.
Yeah, because you'd be like, "Hey, we're insufferable for that whole time."
Yeah.
So I think, no, like a round or two, and then flaming out. That's my wheelhouse. That's my jam.
I kind of get that, right? And I was having this conversation with somebody else who just said, "No, like I don't even want to give them that. I don't want any hope. I don't want you to have those good Saturday nights along the way where you maybe beat Tampa in a good game or the Rangers or something." And I just thought it was an interesting debate because I've watched the Senators since 2017. Be largely garbage, right? Since that conference final.
Yeah.
And I kind of go through waves with it where I'm like, all right, this storing, and it's probably as much because I'm doing this show in Ottawa. I'm tired of talking about these losers. Like, maybe it would be a little more interesting.
Well, I'd love to get back
but you know what I'm saying?
Original Battle of Ontario.
Yeah.
But with a different result because that was painful for me as a younger person. But,
it's kind of like, it's not even fun to kick the dog anymore. Like, I'll still do it because you know, I'm going to do it.
I'll kick the Leafs dog anytime.
Right. Yeah. But it's sort of
I love dogs.
But. Right. But I sort of, I guess it makes some sense from the other perspective that's like all regular season, you're focused on the Sens. And then when the playoffs start and they're not in it, I still have a rooting interest. And it's for whoever is facing Toronto.
For sure. I got to have something to keep me busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and chirping Leafs fan, like actually, you're a good one to chirp because you're, you know,
I'm reasonably aware.
And you have a good, decent sense of humor sometimes.
Sometimes,
but like some of them are, it's like, well, like when was the last time your team was in the? Yeah. I'm like, that's not a, I get it. Like I understand where my team's at. I just want to shit on yours.
Yeah, and on the last topic when you talked about, you know, being reasonably clever with your responses, if you're coming at me on Twitter still with plan the parade, you're not even getting a response.
No.
In fact, you're probably getting muted.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no.
There are a million.
But man, if someone chirps me with something clever,
yes.
I love that. I will get into that day long. Yeah.
And that's it. And so, like, there are some Sens fans I enjoy interacting with because they find new and interesting ways to burn my team or whatever. Yeah. And that's
fine. Dig a little deeper.
Right. But yeah, the plan, the parade, the 67, and look, they're legit. They're real. Like, the plan, the parade thing was a real thing. Someone said they were planning the parade route. The 67, that's legit. But you're just like, heard it. Like, you're not ringing that bell anymore, right? Like, it's not. So, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting.
But when it comes to chirping the Leafs, like, that's where it changes. Like, I don't care. You don't need to be clever. The Leafs are just garbage and everyone hates them. So
fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Except for all the people that I know that love them.
Yeah. We're a good group.
They're the worst.
Oh, all right. Well, that is a slight difference in opinion, I suppose. But that's probably about where we'll wrap this one up for a Monday edition of Talk Ain't
Audio. Can you even name seven Leafs players?
Yeah, well,
don't. Please don't do it.
There's Dave Ellett, and there's Dave Anderchuk, Felix Potvin, and do they have to be this year's Leafs?
Yeah, I love Felix Potvin.
Everybody does, man. Felix the Cat. Yeah. Do you remember 100 years ago, McDonald's, as part of their Happy Meal, had the goalie... That's six or eight collectible plastic goalie helmets.
Yeah.
So Felix was one of them. Patrick Waugh was one. Ed Belfour was one.
Marty Brodeur
was one.
Didn't Podfang also get into a fight with one of the set? Like, they had like a line brawl at one point years ago when he was still playing. Was it with the Kings? And like, it was like Yanni Hermé or whatever, like backup goalies for the Sens. I'm pretty sure they had like a goalie brawl.
Felix and Yanni Hermé?
Yeah, it was so. It was like, oh, Martin Prusak. It was like some
was,
random
when
ass.
Felix was playing for LA.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not up on my LA Kings.
It was.
Line
it was. Yeah. It was one of our random backup goalies for the Sens. But yeah, it was
Martin
Felix.
Prusak.
Like,
there's
yeah,
a good pull. Yanni
with his
Hermé.
Old like
nice
Kashuk helmet. Yeah. Like,
didn't the Sens have a Brodeur?
Michael Brodeur. Yeah.
Something like that. And you're like,
who
oh.
occasionally says weird shit on Twitter too, okay. But he's
can't say I've been following.
Yeah, no, he retired. I remember seeing he retired a little bit ago. He was always a kind of a journeyman guy, but yes. Yeah.
The Felix fight, I always remember him and Ron Hextall, but he was still a Leaf for that.
That's a classic.
That's a good fight. So that's about where we'll wrap this one up. Hoff, man, thank you for doing it. As always, appreciate it. And you will be summoned back to the studio the second that beer is available.
Anytime, man. Always a pleasure.
Like I said, stick around later this week. Bunda and Creech will be back here to talk some UFC 300.
Uh-oh.
And Ardens Welling from Sportsnet. We'll talk about the Jays and what's going on there. Until then, for Chris Hoffley, my name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourselves a great week, and we'll see you next time.
We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this Silcon was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time.